I want to wish you a warm welcome as we begin another edition of The More Abundant Life. My name is Adrian Westmead Jr. I'm your host for today's program. The More Abundant Life is a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wintley Phipps. Today, we're going to present to you part two of a message which Pastor Phipps began in a previous program, a message entitled, Who Sinned? This is program number 175 in our series. This message was presented to the Seabrook Church on March 11, 2000 by Pastor Wintley Phipps, and I do hope that you'll stay tuned. And if you heard part one of this special message, I'm sure you're going to want to stay tuned to hear the conclusion of the title, Who Sinned? As usual, we have some very special music for you. And just before our message begins, we will hear the song entitled Forever Yours by Pastor Wintley Phipps. Stay tuned and enjoy the rest of our program today.
In my quiet place, I still see your face, and I hear your voice down in my soul. Lord, I make this vow, and I pray somehow that you will believe me when I say that I'm forever yours, forever yours. I give my life completely. You're mine, and I am forever, forever yours. Forever yours. I keep your face before me. You're mine, and I am
straight from your side. I pray you'll wipe my tears away. Ooh, and if we must part, keep this word in your heart till we meet again. I'll always be forever yours, forever yours. I give my life completely. You're mine, and I am forever, forever.
Forever yours.
So often when suffering comes to those who tried their best to live for God, the inclination is to ask, what have I done to deserve this? There are times when you wonder if God is in charge of my life, if God is in charge of my destiny, if he orders my steps, why am I living with this pain? Why am I living with this suffering? Is it because I didn't pray hard enough? Is it because my faith was not strong enough? If my destiny is shaped by my choices, how come I've been a vegetarian all my life and now they tell me I've got cancer? Is pain and suffering my punishment for sins committed in secret? Anyone who is a parent knows how difficult it is to explain tragedy and suffering to a child. If God plans my life, and he does, why is pain and sorrow part of my life here on earth? If my choices shape my destiny, why, when I make godly choices, is pain and sorrow still part of my life, part of my destiny? How about those born to pain and sorrow who had no say in the matter? Master said to the disciples, look at this poor man's condition. Master, who sinned here? This man or his parents? You know, it seemed that the disciples saw suffering as God's punishment for sin.
Well, that's right.
They believed that God meted out suffering in proportion to the severity of the sin. So where there was great suffering, that's because someone had really sinned greatly. So this man's condition, being born blind, was a sign to the disciples that some great sin had been committed. They saw this man suffering, and their only question to Jesus was, okay, who sinned here? If this is his lot, his destiny in life, who sinned? Whose sin caused this man's blindness? His own? His parents? Whose fault is it? The disciples did not know that the very logic that was in their question was faulty. Because if they asked, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now that's illogical. The only way his sin could be responsible for his being born blind would be if he sinned in the womb. Or sinned in a previous life. There are some scholars who believe that Jesus was ridding his disciples of a piece of bad theology known as the Pythagorean notion of the preexistence of souls. This was the erroneous teaching that the disembodied souls of humans actually transmigrated from one body to another, like reincarnation. It's very likely that the disciples and those around them believed that this man's soul was condemned to the dungeon of a blind body as punishment for some great sin committed in another body, in another life. This was bad theology. Jesus was dealing with it. If it was not important, Jesus would not have addressed it. Master, who sinned here? The answer of Jesus to their inquiry was, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents. Brothers and sisters, it is true that suffering in any form in this wicked world is the result of sin. It is true that sometimes God allows tragedy to strike. He doesn't inflict it. He allows it. True, this tragedy will often cause you to examine your own life to see if there's some area of your life that is not in harmony with the will of God. So there is a purpose to it. It is also true that sometimes a particular suffering can be traced to a particular sin. God never said that the wages of sin is suffering. He said the wages of sin is eternal death.
Amen.
Are you with me today?
Amen.
Some sins leave permanent scars.
Yeah.
Some sins will cause you to come up dead.
Yeah.
Promiscuity.
Yeah.
Immorality.
Yeah.
I tell people, if you wanted to choose a decade in which to be promiscuous, you chose the wrong decade.
That's right.
This is not the one.
That's right.
Because all suffering in some way is in it the result of sin. The disciples took it one step further and assumed that all suffering is punishment for sin. So the question they raised with Jesus that day is, who is responsible? The man or his parents? Brothers and sisters, this was the same argument that Job's friends brought to him. You remember? Surely, Job, there is some sin you are hiding that you are going through what you're going through. Some iniquity unconfessed. Come clean, Job. Just come clean. And God will remove the curse from you. Job, they said, no one, listen to this, no one has ever perished who was innocent.
Yeah.
Woo! Master, who sinned here? Jesus said, no one sinned. Suffering is a consequence of sin. Not always the punishment for sin. Accidents can happen to Christians. Tragedy can happen to the most faithful Christian. Mistakes are made that harm God's people who are trying to be of service to Him. Missionaries, faithful on the battlefield, have died in jungles and forests and died by water and land and sea and air. Master, who sinned? No one sinned. And through the years, I've listened to honest Christian people wrestling with the painful details of their life's misfortunes. And it would be a shock to you if you could see what some sincere Christian brothers and sisters have lived through. Master, who sinned? Nobody sinned. What happened to you is not your fault. So forgive yourself. It is the consequence of sin, not my punishment for your sin. You were too young to be culpable. Somebody took advantage of you in your youth. It's not your fault. I've talked to people who have watched their life savings disappear in hours because they trusted a loan shark, trusted someone with their investments who proved false, and the little they had stashed away for retirement turned to sand. I've seen it happened to people in the church who trusted people in the church. Master, who sinned? It wasn't your fault. You didn't know they were dishonest. You didn't know they wouldn't pay you back. Right now, somebody owes you money and won't pay you back. It's not your fault. I've seen lives full of pride and promise paralyzed in automobile accidents, reducing brilliant human beings to the point where they can't do for themselves. I've seen the agony of sorrow written over the faces of these human beings. Master, tell me, who sinned here? Jesus, I hear him saying it. Nobody sinned. It wasn't your fault. Just watch the power of God at work. I've seen the tears of a spouse so hurt by the betrayal and unfaithfulness of their life's partner. So disappointed, broken by someone they had hoped to spend their life with. You know, to give a young man or a young lady your affection and then have them break your heart, that's a terrible kind of pain. You're not listening to me. That's a terrible kind of pain. Sometimes there isn't a word in the English language to describe that kind of pain. And so you, in some cultures, you have to invent one. I know where I was born. They invented one. It's called Tabanka. You wouldn't understand. But when you've been betrayed, when your heart is broken, so many children come from broken homes, and through their whole lives, they operate from a profound disadvantage. It's not your fault. Forgive yourself. This world is full of sorrows. Sorrows that crush our hopes and steal our joys. Now, I do not know if your destiny has in it some episode of sorrow and suffering. All I know is even godly people make mistakes that bring them pain and sorrow. Before I leave you, you got your Bibles? Turn to the book of 2 Samuel 4. The book of 2 Samuel. Chapter 4. What a mighty God. And listen to this. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was how old? 5 years old. How did it happen? When the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. So his name was Mephibosheth. That's how Mephibosheth became a cripple, because of an accident. Even for the Christian, life is full of mishaps and accidents. And God even made provisions in the law for when honest, God-fearing people make mistakes and have accidents. My God. If you've got your Bible again, turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Thank God for his holy word. Yeah. Chapter 19. What book did I say? Deuteronomy, chapter 19. And look at verse 5. And look at 4. And this is the case of the manslayer who flees there, that he may live. Whoever kills his neighbor, what? In my version, it says unintentionally, not having hated him in the past. My God. As when a man goes to the woods with his neighbor to cut timber, and his hand swings a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slips from the handle and strikes the neighbor so that he dies, he shall flee to one of these cities of refuge, and live. God makes provisions for even when you make mistakes and when you hurt people unintentionally. As we wander through dark nights of suffering, we may often ask ourselves, why is this happening to me? God is saying to you, you've gone through these trials because of sin in the world, not because of sins you've committed. Hallelujah. This ought to come as a joyful release to somebody this morning. God has a plan if sorrow and suffering are to be part of your life's destiny. Master, who sinned? No one sinned. In his response to the disciples, Jesus does not address the question, where does suffering come from? Instead, he leads his disciples to look to the divine purpose of suffering. It is an opportunity for the power of God to be displayed. If you are one of those who has lived a hard life, say amen. If you are one of those who is living a hard life, I can tell you that all suffering has a purpose. Suffering reminds us of the reality of sin. Suffering reminds us that there is a devil out there walking around seeking whom he may devour. You know, if we lived in a sinful world that didn't have consequences for sin, this world would be uninhabitable. Think of what this world would be like if people could do whatever they wanted to do without consequences. People would continue to do more than they're doing now, and this earth would be a mess. It already is. None of us would want to live in it. God says, take your time. Suffering is one of the many symptoms of sin, and symptoms have a purpose in God's kingdom. Amen. Symptoms let you know when there's a problem. Amen. When your car starts to cough, you know there's a problem. How many people are alive today because God tied symptoms to disease? Amen. So when you feel a pain in your chest, that ought to tell you, that's a symptom. You got to do something about it. Amen. If that pain wasn't there, you'd die.
That's right.
Silently. Thank God for symptoms. Suffering is a symptom. Suffering reminds us of the presence and of sin, and all of us are suffering one thing or another. For some, it's a major suffering. Some, it's minor. Some, it's episodic. For some, it's chronic. Some of you have pains that come and go. Some of you have pains that are constant companions. Sin hurts. God wants it to hurt. But pain and suffering is not always the punishment for a specific sin. So if suffering is part of your destiny, as I close, it may be the result of sin in the world and not as a result of punishment for your sins. So the Lord sent me to you today to tell you, forgive yourself. What you went through as a child, you had nothing to do with. Maybe you were raped as a child. Forgive yourself. Master, who sinned? You didn't sin. C.S. Lewis said that suffering is one of the voices of God speaking to us. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, and shouts to us in our pains. When suffering comes, suddenly life gets real perspective. Can I read you something before I close? Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself. Your husband betrayed you, up and left you. It's not your fault. Forgive yourself. Listen to what the servant of God says. The Lord frequently permits his people to be brought into straight places that they may turn to him, their protector and deliverer, as a child would turn to his parents when in trouble and fear. It is no evidence that God is against us because we are afflicted. It is no evidence. evidence that God is against you because you suffer. Because you've been through hard times. Because your life has been difficult. She says, this answers the troubled questioning of many minds. Why should these things be? Is it because of our sins that distress and sorrow have come upon us? It is true that pain and death are the consequence of sin, but the Lord permits those he loves to be brought into trial that they may learn the precious lessons of trust and faith. If trials are received rightly, they will prove of the highest value to us in our religious experience. As they lead us to put our trust more firmly in God, we become better acquainted with his character. You didn't hear that last sentence. If they lead you, if trials and trouble and tragedy lead you to put your trust more firmly in God, you will become better acquainted with the character of God. So the Lord sent me today to tell you, forgive yourself. All right. Master, who sinned? Nobody sinned. Was it this man or his parents that he was born blind? Nobody sinned. Just watch me be glorified.
That concludes the message for today. The message entitled, Who Sinned? Part 2. I hope that you enjoyed the message and it's been a blessing to you. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message by cassette tape, I invite you to call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number there again at the Seabrook Church is 301-577-6342. When you call that number, you'll want to refer today to the program number, which is program number 175, which will give you the title, Who Sinned? Part 2. Again, that's program number 175. Also, if you'd like to visit the Seabrook Church in person, the address is 8900 Goodluck Road in Lanham, Maryland. That's in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. You may call the church again for directions. Worship services are held each Saturday morning at 8:15 a.m. and then again at 11 a.m. Well, that brings us to the end of our program for today. I do hope that you will be blessed by God today and always. Join us again for another program, but until you can, please remember the words of John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.